We'll be looking a little later on there in that same chapter. So if you want to keep it marked, we'll be back there in just a little bit. If you're in the market for just about anything, you've heard of that term deal breaker. And you may have almost been to the point ready to buy something and something came up and it was a deal breaker. Maybe that happened in a house. Maybe it was pet odors or just a bad location. Didn't have enough windows to suit you. Maybe it was a car. Didn't like the color. Had more than 100,000 miles on it. It was a Ford, so you just didn't like it and you weren't going to buy it. Or Chevy, Bob, I'll give that to you as well. Maybe it's a college, something wasn't quite right there, whether it was the cost, too far from home, maybe not far enough from home. If it's a relationship, it might be something, well, you just won't even go there this morning. But those deal breakers, we know that things can happen that you say, well, I'm ready to do this, except now I'm just not going to go ahead and follow through because of this one thing. There was a movie back in 2001, and it was entitled The Body. And I don't know if you remember this movie or not. I didn't see it, but as I was doing some research, came across it this last week. But archaeologists claim to have discovered the remains of Jesus of Nazareth. Of course, this was a fictitious movie. But the skeleton matched the description of the crucified Jesus. There was a priest in the movie whose faith was so shaken that he committed suicide. Then it was found that the remains weren't of Jesus, but some other person who had been crucified. This raises an important question. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, would that be a deal breaker? Would that affect you this morning? Would that affect your faith? Would that affect your Christian life? Would that affect your entire belief system? I think if you think about it, you would definitely probably answer yes. You know, if we think about it, Jesus didn't claim to be a good teacher. He claimed to be the truth. He didn't claim to be a good role model. He actually claimed to be God in the flesh. And he didn't just promise to give life after death. He said that he would prove it. And without the resurrection of Jesus, those things are no longer believable, are they? There was a comprehensive study done not that far back among about 1,400 scholars, and these were the most critical scholars of today. And it was a study that was actually conducted from 1975 to 2003, and it was published in a book by Gary Habermas. And I thought it was interesting. I wanted to show, he pointed out 12 things that these scholars agreed upon. The crucifixion, we looked at that last week. That Jesus was buried, most likely in a private tomb. The disciples were discouraged, bereaved, having lost all hope. Jesus' tomb was found empty soon after his interment. Now, what do you think number 5 maybe should say? The disciples had experiences that they believed were actual appearances of the risen Jesus. Due to these experiences, the disciples' lives were thoroughly transformed. They were even willing to die for their belief. The proclamation of the resurrection took place very early in the beginning of church history. The disciples' public testimony and the preaching of the resurrection took place in the city of Jerusalem where Jesus had been crucified and buried. And of course, the gospel message centered on the preaching of the death and resurrection of Jesus. They noticed that Sunday was the primary day for gathering and worshiping. They even mentioned James, the brother of Jesus and a skeptic before this time, was converted when he believed that he also saw the risen Jesus. And finally, the 12th observation, just a few years later, Saul of Tarsus, Paul, the reading that we just read, of course, he authored that, became a Christian believer due to an experience that he also believed was an appearance of the risen Jesus. You notice in that list, they never said anything about Jesus rose. Jesus was resurrected. I want to just share just a few moments this morning. We don't have a lot of time. But I think when we look at the resurrection, there's some things that it's done over the years. I think I could ask everyone out here this morning, do you believe in almost 100% would say, yes, I believe in that. Because this, it makes all the difference in the world. That's a deal breaker, if we want to look at it in those terms. But over the years, the resurrection has generated controversy. You know, none of what we're talking about today would matter if Jesus hadn't claimed to be the Son of God. None of this would be important if Jesus hadn't said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But he did make those claims, and he offered his resurrection as proof that they were true. The resurrection was the main message of the apostles. We see that in Acts very early on, Acts chapter 2, verse 24. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. And then again in chapter 3, verse 26, it said, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you. Let's say you just had a small window of opportunity to tell a group of people about Jesus. What would you include? Well, the apostles were including the resurrection. They said, I believe it. We've witnessed. Look what has happened. But that did create controversy. It divided crowds. It sent people away sneering. It created uproars. We can look at Acts again and see this very thing happening. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse 2, the apostles were about to be arrested for the first time. What was the reason for this? Was that they were creating a public assembly without a license? No. Were they not filing the correct tax papers? No. Notice what it says there in verse 2 of chapter 4. It says, they, or the Jewish council, was greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were about to be arrested. We can go on down later in Acts chapter 23. Another scene where we see Paul is brought before the Jewish council in a grim situation. But there in verse 6 it says, but perceiving one group were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, Paul began crying out in the council. He says, brethren, I'm a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial for the hope and resurrection of the dead. As he said this, there occurred a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection. And there occurred a great uproar. Controversy. The apostles were sharing, they were preaching, saying, Jesus is risen from the dead. Let's speak openly about the resurrection, unapologetically, unashamed. Figure that when we do that correctly, it will divide the crowd. There will be those unbelievers. There might be those who sneer. But a second thing that the resurrection has done, it's transformed fear into bold faith. You know, the people that we read about in the Bible are about as gritty and true to life as you can find. If you look specifically at Jesus' disciple and his physical family, we see some fear being transformed into faith. You know, before the resurrection, the disciples were cowardly, and Jesus' family members were skeptics. We know that Jesus had at least 4 brothers and 2 sisters in his family. What would it have been like to have grown up in a family with Jesus as your older brother? What if your oldest brother was Jesus? Can you imagine James at some point, Mom, you treat Jesus as if he's perfect. Well, James, Mary might have said. But you know, the family didn't believe in him. We see that in John chapter 7 and verse 5. Also in Mark chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, when his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying he has lost his senses. So rather than traveling around with Jesus during his ministry, his family didn't even believe in him. What about his 12 closest followers? We know that story. They hung around him. They traveled with him. But you remember the night that they're in the garden? What happened? They were nowhere to be found. After that time, they left. They went on and were fearful for their own lives. Peter hung around a little later in the shadows. But when he was asked, he denied knowing Jesus on 3 different occasions. And the evening that Jesus arose, we find the disciples all together in a room with the door shut for fear of the Jews. Wouldn't we be afraid? When we're questioned about being one of His, do we stand up and speak, or do we sometimes deny knowing Him? But fast forward about 6+ weeks, about 6.5 weeks, the cross is over. That's happened. You know, last week, Joe talked about that, and somebody said, that lesson brought tears to my eyes, and it should. This week brings joy to our heart, the resurrection. Jesus has gone into heaven. About 120 of the believers are gathered together in Jerusalem. And who do we find with them? Look there in Acts chapter 1. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. Fear had become faith, bold faith. That would probably include James, the brother of Jesus, most likely the author who wrote the book of James, one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, who history tells us was stoned to death in 62 AD for his testimony about Jesus. James, who used to not believe in Jesus. Why the change? Jesus had risen. The resurrection, that's the thing that had taken place that had caused fear to change into bold faith. Imagine a soldier out on the battlefield rushing into battle, convinced that he can't be killed. How far would that push the enemy? How uninhibited would he be? How do you stop a man who's immortal? These men, these women had witnessed the resurrection. They were proclaiming. They were bold in their proclamation, and we know bold even to the point of death. We're told that only one of the apostles was not put to death because of what he taught. He was exiled. If today you can't cite one thing about you that's different because Jesus is alive, something is wrong. Because the resurrection transforms us. It can bring us from cowards to lions. And as a Christian, we can profess that faith. We can say, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living no matter what men say. We know that. We can proclaim that. We see the change that it made in those that are around Jesus, even His own family, even His brother, James, and the difference that it made in his life. And then a third point. And I struggled on whether to change the wording on this point after I first came up with it. And then I thought, no, I'm going to go ahead and leave it. And let me explain it. Point number three, it makes believers not pathetic. You know, anytime someone says that's pathetic, it's not a good thing. But the resurrection of Jesus is what make us who follow Jesus not pathetic. Is that right? That's true. That's what gives us our hope. That's what gives us our strength, our courage. The resurrection provides the foundation for all that we believe. The resurrection makes the difference between pathetic and victorious. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read down through verse 8. I want to begin reading there at verse 13 if you still have your Bible open to that page. Notice what Paul says. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we testified against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise. If in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most pitied. He said if that resurrection hadn't have occurred, we would be in a pathetic situation. That's down through verse 19, but notice what he says there in verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. We're by no means pathetic. Our belief has substance. Our belief has a foundation. Our faith in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. I believe in the resurrection. The Christian life, the foundation built upon that. The resurrection makes the difference. Now let me pose another question. If you aren't a believer in Jesus this morning, what would it take to make you to become a believer? What if Jesus really did rise from the dead? Would you believe his other claims? Would you think he had the right to say he has all authority in heaven and on earth? Would you believe that he deserves today for you to call him Lord? We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in our reading this morning. Let's look at another passage, Romans chapter 6. It's listed up there. Verses 3 through 6. Paul again writing, he says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." I believe in the resurrection. It makes all the difference in the world. It changes my faith from pathetic to victorious. It can change your life from fear to bold faith, yet it's going to be controversial. If you do any in-depth study on the resurrection, read some of the different theories as to what actually happened, you see a wide range of things. We look to Scripture, do we not? To those witnesses, those men that were there, those men that saw and then exclaimed and proclaimed what they had seen. "I serve a risen Savior." A Muslim said to a Christian, "We Muslims have one thing you Christians don't." "Well, what's that?" the Christian asked. "Well, when we go to Medina to find a coffin, or we find a coffin and we know Muhammad lived because his body is in the coffin. But when you Christians go to Jerusalem, you find nothing but an empty tomb." "Thank you," the Christian responded. "What you said is absolutely true. That's what makes the eternal difference. We find an empty tomb in Jerusalem because our Lord lives. We serve a risen Savior, Jesus Christ." I believe in the resurrection. Not all scholars will say that. We couldn't even get them to put it in that list of 12 things that they do believe or agree on. But Scripture is chock full of serving a risen Savior. The cross is the unifying symbol of Christianity, but the empty tomb is our assurance that we serve that risen Savior. It's not magic, it's not a hoax, but it's the greatest miracle ever. What have you done with this? Many here this morning have put on Christ through baptism. Many here this morning are living that faithful Christian life. Are you proclaiming that? Are you doing that boldly in the way that you live? Those that you come in contact with, I hope you are. I hope that I can always do that. That's something we need to work on each and every day. Maybe you're here this morning, you haven't put on Christ through baptism. The grave didn't contain Jesus. And in that final day, we're going to rise again, the faithful, to meet him. What a wonderful thing. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?